You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Welcome, everyone, to NSPS Radio Hour for today. Just before we came on the air, we were having a conversation with David at the station about the weather. And, of course, here on the East Coast, we've been having our fun this year. And, of course, Lisa Isom was with me today out in Denver. And, Lisa, I know you guys have had lots of fun out there, too.
Yes.
I was actually I was out there, you know, this past weekend. I went to the Wyoming conference in Laramie.
Oh, yes.
And I flew to Denver and then rented a vehicle and drove up to Laramie and back, and didn't really have any issues. When I was going across 80 between Cheyenne and Laramie, across the pass up there, as you go across, I guess, the pass in the Rockies, but it was blowing snow. I was telling the guys at the conference that it had been a long time since I had driven in blowing snow like that at 70 miles an hour.
Yeah, exactly. That's not too comforting.
No, it isn't. But I had to drive that fast to keep from getting run over.
Yeah. Well, I was actually in, I was coming back from the conference in Mississippi. And I had my fair share of weather delay and getting there and coming back. And so I actually didn't even get back until yesterday afternoon. And so it's been delays all over the country, I think, because of this weather stuff. And then, you know, the flight crews being delayed getting in as well. So,
oh, yeah. I was really fortunate, though, because I didn't get held up either way. I got my flight was on time to Denver, and then leaving Denver was on time, and I got back here. So the weather didn't affect my air travel at all. I do have to say, though, that as I was leaving Laramie coming east on early Saturday morning, before daybreak, it was snowing pretty hard as I was coming up the mountain. And then when I crested over the mountain, it was still blowing snow and snowing some, but in the distance it was beginning to clear. So the sun was coming up, silhouetting the mountains between me and the sun.
Oh, wow.
And that was
a
beautiful sight. You know, the rugged peaks out there.
Yeah,
and
it was
beautiful. It was,
well, going to Mississippi, I was actually delayed an entire day without luggage, and I still showed up to the Mississippi conference, and so it was actually a very good one, and I had Rick Quagliaroli. He was in Columbia, South Carolina, as well, and so so this time of the year, it's a lot of traveling, and you just cross your fingers that you can make it, and have people headed out to Illinois and I think Ohio tomorrow. So it's been it's a busy time of the year for all of us. So.
Yep, that it is. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm coming your way again. I'm going to, I guess, Montana before I come to the Colorado meeting. So I'll. Mm-hmm. But I'll be coming into Denver kind of the end of the month.
Yeah.
By the way, David asked me to announce that the Schoenstatt competition or the contest winner, and this is going to be announced in the last segment today, so I want all listeners to know that. Be sure to listen for it. Schoenstatt's been running this program now for some time, and today they're announcing the winner of the big prize, which I believe is a cruise. So everybody be listening for that as we get to the end of the show. You know, I hadn't realized another thing that those guys are doing, which is pretty interesting, not exactly related to our insurance topic for the day, but they have a humanitarian demining initiative that they run through the United Nations, Schoenstatt does. And they donate a magnetic locator for everyone that's bought of a certain type, and I don't know all the specifics, but they've donated almost 500 of those things now in 27 countries to help the people there because of all the hidden mines, IEDs or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
And,
wow.
But it's a pretty good program. We've got something about it on the website, so maybe people will go look at that and perhaps participate in it. It's certainly a worthy cause.
Yep.
No doubt about that. But
absolutely.
So getting on to our topic for the day, we're going to talk about professional, I guess, as you guys call it, professional coverage, professional liability coverage, and I guess, and we'll be talking about E&O and how that compares and those kind of things. But I guess it's important to for surveyors to have a certain amount of knowledge about when they're going in to get coverage. You know, how does that members know how to place their coverage? You know, what do they need to know?
Right. Well, you know, and the, you know, absolutely, Kurt. You know, as one of the things that you know we want to do with the member is to make them an informed member to go in, no matter who they're doing business with, to make sure that they have the right coverage at the time you know that they need it at the time of the loss. And so, you know, not all professional liability coverage is the same. And so from our perspective, you know, it's a lot about education, what to ask for, you know, what to look for when you're comparing coverages and or quotes. And especially, you know, with this economy, there's things that agents out there can do that – you may think you're getting coverage for the same thing when, in fact, you're really not. And so, you know, as we've talked about in the past, you know, we wanted to make sure that in with the NSPS insurance program and being the endorsed agent for them is providing information in, to the member and at the end of the day be able to provide them enough information to make an informed business decision when they're placing their coverage. And, you know, yes, naturally we do have coverage within the program, but ultimately this is a benefit to the member that they are aware of what they should be looking for when they're purchasing professional liability and or E&O coverage. And if I could, you know, one of the things that, you know, if you go back 20 years ago, most surveyors let's go back 22, 23 years ago. When I first started working with surveyors, the only place that you could find coverage that was in the marketplace for a land surveyor was to be dovetailed underneath an architect-engineer form. And with that professional liability form, oftentimes what you did as a land surveyor was sometimes excluded from that form. So in essence, you had a certificate providing coverage, showing that you had the coverage in place that really didn't cover what you did. but at the end of the day, you know, that's where when I first got into to the coverage of land surveyors, there was a huge need to have the surveyor insuring themselves as what they were doing for the design work that they were actually doing. And at that point in time, a lot of the coverage was always referred to as errors and omissions insurance, or E&O. That term has slowly but surely kind of gone away. And what that means by that is in the past, you actually had to have committed an error or an omission in order for that coverage form to respond, to apply. In today's world, we refer to it as professional liability, and yes, it does cover for errors and omissions, but it goes one step further, and that is, you know, if you're named in a suit that you really have not made an error in, it will respond. It's broader coverage form than the E&O has been in the past.
So when you find yourself in one of those situations where, and I'm sure this happens to a lot of people, kind of get drawn into something just because they're looking for everybody they can possibly find, and
yeah,
and really doesn't have an implication to you, but it still can be a problem. I mean, you still have to defend yourself, so to speak. So
the defense is the big key there. You know, one of the things that you know, what we refer to is like a blanket suit. When you have a situation to where, as you just said, if you were on the job site, you're getting named in a suit, whether it's your fault, whether, you know, the windows was put in wrong in a condo. Everybody that was on the job site is named in a suit. So you then need to defend yourself. And that's where this professional liability will actually pick up and respond to that claim or that incident. And, you know, one of the things that I would like to, you know, point out today is oftentimes surveyors will be confused between general liability or business liability and their professional liability. And really knowing the difference between the two will help a surveyor understand that, you know, a general liability policy, there are carriers today, and they're getting fewer and fewer between, that will write a business liability policy, and you may not have professional liability policy in place. They are now becoming more to the forefront requiring a land surveyor, in order to cover their general liability, to have some type of a minimum professional liability policy in place for that very reason. And, you know, so to start out with general liability, the general liability or the business liability protects you and your business from claims that would arise from bodily injury or personal injury or property damage to someone else, okay? So it's to someone else that you're causing this personal injury, property damage, or liability to physically. Whereas the professional liability, it's, you know, it will provide the damages and the defense cost from claims arising out of alleged acts or errors or omissions, which would occur in any type of work that you're doing under your land surveying services. It's going to cover both for bodily injury as well as property damage claims. So, and you know, so basically it's protecting you and your personal, you personally and or your employees personally for the services you're providing. Whereas, so, like,
that might be a good place to stop for our break, and we'll come back and pick up with that in a few minutes or a couple minutes.
Great.
Schonstedt Instrument Company has been making locating easier since 1953. First, with its yellow stick, the GA52CX, the industry standard for sensitivity. Then, the GA72CD, a shorter and more rugged version offering a magnetic polarity display and a battery and sensitivity indicator. And most recently, the GA92XT, built for portability. It retracts to fit in its holster and extends for one-handed operation and fingertip control. See them all at Schonstedt.com. That's Schonstedt.com.
Portable alternative to heavy wooden stakes, but they save the surveyor time, which means money, by being easy to carry, easy to ride on, and even easier to see. For more information about Quick Stakes, go to www.quickstake.com, or for a sample, give us a call at 800-438-0387.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
And here's something new from Schonstedt. Did you know that Schonstedt has upped the ante on trade-ins? Now you can trade in any instrument, theirs or a competitor's, in any condition, working or not, and receive more in trade than ever before. Plus, they'll pay the freight both ways. Contact your local dealer for details or go to Schonstedt.com. That's Schonstedt.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
We're back with Lisa Isom today with Assurance Risk Managers, the program managers for the NSPS insurance program, talking about a variety of things related to coverage. And before we went to break, Lisa was explaining differences between what's covered in general liability and professional liability. I want to get back to that, Lisa, but I had another question early on in the conversation today. You were talking about making sure that people get informed and understand the differences in coverages and all those kind of things. What's good advice for people in terms of trying to get informed? I mean, if I'm understanding correctly, when you need insurance, obviously you're going to call somebody, but usually that's at a time when you're either trying to renew or purchase for the first time or something. Is there a way for people to get more informed about these things ahead of time?
Well, you know, naturally, you know, calling, you know, our office, you know, I'd be more than happy, and any of our agents would be more than happy to explain those coverage differences. But, you know, there are websites out there to, you know, to get more information and definitions of what does this mean to you. But there again, you have to kind of know what to ask.
Right. That was the thing I was thinking about is if you don't know the right questions, it's hard to get the answer you're looking for.
Right. Right. You know, and so it is, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the chicken before the egg kind of thing. You know enough to know that you need to have professional liability, but, you know, there are those search engines out there that you can, you know, kind of Google to get some information about, but you can also go to our website, too, and, you know, if you have a question, just, you know, shoot a question over. You know, they don't even necessarily have to call. You know, we will have people that will send us a note and say, I'm contemplating starting up a program or a surveying company. What types of insurance should I need? And we can respond back that way. But, you know, basically knowing in finding out what you should be looking for on a policy is key to looking and making sure that you're covered, you know, when you get down and really need the coverage in place.
Right. I know there has been times, and maybe this is still prevalent, I don't know, but certainly as we travel around and talk to people around the country on our seminars and even the LTA survey one that we'll talk about a little bit later, there has been over time, and I guess the question I'm asking is, do you think this is still as commonplace as in the past? But there seem to be a lot of people who think they're better off not to have insurance, and I'm just curious how often you hear that.
Well, I do. I don't hear it as often now as I used to. You know, what I would tell you is this, is through your office and through you know, the upcoming few months, one of the things that I'm going to suggest, because it was certainly obvious to me, some of the questions that came up in Mississippi, you know, of possibly doing a webinar sessions to where people can actually either have their accounting person or their HR person or themselves participate in like a webinar to learn the risk management piece of this, because as you well know, that's not really their forte, is to find out from a risk management perspective, what do I need to have in place and the proper stuff to have in place. And so that comes to the forefront of life. But, you know, to your point, in the past, surveyors have come up to me and said, you know, I've elected not to carry professional liability because, you know, if I have professional liability in place, they sue me. It's a guarantee that I'm going to get sued. And if I don't have it, they won't come after me. Or the other comeback is, you know, I know my work is good. I stand behind my work, and I don't really need, you know, to carry professional liability. In the past, you know, maybe that, you know, that is the decision that you come to decide to go with, but anymore, that's just not the case. Whether it's, you know, it's called information to maybe attorneys or carriers or whatever it might be, at the end of the day, you're going to be either contracting directly with maybe another firm that's going to be named in a suit, and then you're going to be named because you did the work, or you're doing work directly with some of the contractors directly, some of the states directly, rather than through other parties. And at the end of the day, anyone that has provided a certificate of insurance is going to be named in that suit, and what we refer to as like a 30, you know, a blanket suit. And so, at you know, anymore, even if you carry professional liability just simply for the defense cost of a professional liability, and maybe your work is still good, and at the end of the day, you're dropped out of the suit, or worst case scenario, you're on a project and everybody's named in the suit, and which will lead me into another statement that I was going to cover today. It's called a hammer clause that's in a professional liability policy. You don't even have the right to defend whether your work was good or not. You know, the carrier and or the judge may hand down a settlement, and anyone on that project is going to take a hit for it. You need to have professional liability in place to cover situations just as that. So, you know, not anymore would I say it's just chancing it. And then secondly, as we go into the profession advancing the way that it is, you know, the general liability is policy that people will normally carry. Most every surveyor will carry business liability. Those carriers that you're getting your business liability policies through, if you don't carry professional, the claim comes back on that general liability policy, and there is a total exclusion for any type of professional act under the general liability. So then they will defend you to the point of saying that you know, this does not apply to this policy. And then at this point in time, you know, you have a handful of carriers that will even write a land surveyor now without showing proof of coverage that you have professional elsewhere under the general liability. So it's getting tighter and tighter of having the ability of working without insurance or proof of insurance.
Yeah, I guess one of the things that I've always found kind of interesting was, and I agree with you, I think all of us like to think that we do great work and we stand behind our work, and I think that's true in 99% of the cases. But the bottom line is you don't have to do anything wrong to get sued.
Right.
I mean, that's the whole thing, and really this is more, it's not only protection about what you might do wrong, it's protection even if you didn't do anything wrong.
It's protection for what you did right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, know, that's a better way to put it.
Right. You know, the thing is that's what, you know, I was explaining to a person last week was, you know, where we see defense is basically proving that you did do your work right in lieu of proving that, you know, you actually did an error. So, you know, that's really where it's coming into play today. You know, one of the things about the professional liability with a land surveying company, if you get to a person that is knowledgeable about your profession, knows what you're doing, the type of work that you're doing, the different services that you're providing, and get you to the correct professional liability carrier for your own specific needs, it's tolerable today. The premiums today are much less than they have been in the past. And, you know, working with your agent to create that for you gives you more options. So at the end of the day, you know, do you pick up a policy and you've never carried it in the past? You're picking it up from this point forward. So that premium is going to be much more palatable than it would have been if you're picking it up from the beginning of time, years over years over years over years, because of the pricing structure of today's world. So you can, you know, at the end of the day, how much is it going to cost you to go, if you're self-insuring yourself, going without coverage, to go hire an attorney? Typically a retainer is going to be maybe $2,000, $2,500 just to take your case, to write a few letters for you. So at the end of the day, you know, if you're a surveyor, you know, less than $100,000 in gross billings or $150,000 in gross billings, you can get a policy that's less expensive than a retainer fee would be. And you have the peace of mind that it's there if you need it. And from a defense cost, you can get policies that have defense built right into your policy. So if they're going to defend you until the point of time that they find you negligent on something, then you pay a deductible. So there's a lot of options out there to discuss and go over with one of us here at the program.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. I just made a note when you were started that part of the conversation. It is something you really have to spend some time looking at, because coverage isn't one size fits everybody, right? I mean, it's not like buying a commodity.
No. You have firms out there that do nothing but boundary surveys. You know, 100% boundary, 100% altas. You have surveyor companies out there that do both mixed, you know, the land surveying as well as some engineering work. So, yeah, it's not a one-size-fits-all. That kind of takes you back 20 years ago, where they just slapped you in with architects, engineers, and rated you accordingly. And you really need to make sure when you're applying for a policy, it's kind of, you know, it's sometimes irritating because agents such as myself will send you an application that's, you know, anywhere from 1 to 4 pages to 5 pages long. But one of the things that I want to, you know, bring to the members' attention is that this is a claims-made policy. And so what that means is this application is really your lifeline to your coverage. The more information you can provide on there, the better your rate's going to be and the best fit for the carrier that we have within the multiple carrier approach here with the program. It's going to save you time and effort at the end. But most importantly, this application becomes part of your policy. So what that means is if you know the billings that you put on the application, the type of work that you're putting on the application. So
it's time for us to take a break, Lisa. Sorry.
Okay. Great.
But that'll be a good thing for us to pick up on when we come back, is this claims made coverage, because that does need some good explanation, I think. So let's do the break. We'll be right back.
To see who won the Schonstedt Great Locator Giveaway grand prize of a Caribbean cruise or $5,000, go to www.schonstedt.com.
Schonstedt Instrument Company has been making locating easier since 1953. First, with its yellow stick, the GA52CX, the industry standard for sensitivity. Then, the GA72CD, a shorter and more rugged version offering a magnetic polarity display and a battery and sensitivity indicator. And most recently, the GA92XT, built for portability. It retracts to fit in its holster and extends for one-handed operation and fingertip control. See them all at Schonstedt.com. That's Schonstedt.com.
All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
Quick stakes are not just an affordable alternative to heavy wooden stakes, but they save the surveyor time, which means money, by being easy to carry, easy to ride on, and even easier to see. For more information about Quick Stakes, go to www.quickstake.com, or for a sample, give us a call at 800-438-0387.
Getting into underground utility location? If so, you'll want to know about the Schonstedt Instrument Company's MPC kit, a multi-purpose combo for locating both ferrous objects and underground pipes and cables. And because it consists of two instruments in one package, it qualifies for trade-in allowances on two locators. Any kind, any make, any condition. Contact your dealer for details or visit www.schonstedt.com. That's S-C-H-O-N-S-T-E-D-T.com.
To see who won the Schonstedt Great Locator Giveaway Grand Prize of a Caribbean cruise or $5,000, go to www.schonstedt.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
We're back with Lisa Isom talking about insurance coverages. And before we went to the break, we were talking about claims made coverage. But this is the time of the day when we ask the question of the day for our Parker Davis Quick Stakes Contest. And the email address is quickstakescontest@americaswebradio.com to provide the answer to win the gift certificate for today. And Lisa, earlier, I know we're going to follow up on this later, but kind of in a nutshell, what does hammer clause mean?
Well, Kurt, in professional liability policies, you'll find carriers that will have a hammer clause in their form. And the short version of the hammer clause in a policy won't necessarily use those words, but the definition or the intent is to see whether or not your professional liability has consent to settle that's built into your professional policy. So if you want to ask the question of what is a hammer clause, the correct answer would be the consent to settle has either been removed or is in place in your professional liability clause. So, and that basically means that the carrier would request your consent as the insured to settle a claim rather than settling it themselves without your consent.
So for the short answer, for the contest purposes, we can say hammer clause is consent to settle.
Correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm sure we'll probably talk about that later as we get into the show, but that was a great question for the day. Sometimes our questions are a little superfluous, but that one actually has some teeth to it. So, once again, the answer to the question today, what is hammer clause? The answer is consent to settle. Before we went on break, you had begun to talk about the claims made coverage, and we didn't have time to get into that too deeply. So if you could pick up that conversation again, that everybody knows what that means.
Yes. Under the professional liability for the land surveyor, the form is written on what we refer to as claims made. And basically, the claims made form, you'll hear occurrence used in your coverage forms. And occurrence is one that you'll find in general liability, auto liability, when the claim occurs. So it's an occurrence form, whereas claims made is basically meaning when the claim must be brought to the attention of ourselves and the insurance company during your policy period. So for example, if the policy is written in January and it goes from January 14 to 15, and you have a retro at inception, the claim is filed, say, in February, there will be coverage that applies on this current year's policy no matter when the work was performed. Okay, so as an example, if you did the work in October and you had a retro date on your policy, but the current policy goes from January 14 to 15, the claim is filed in February of the existing year because you have a retroactive date going back to 2013, the claim would be paid and filed under the existing current policy. So the short version of that one is it's very complicated, and professional is a complication for land surveyors in knowing what retroactive date means and what occurrence claims made means. But the claims made policy will respond as an occurrence policy would have as long as the policy is in place and you have no lapse in coverage. So when a surveyor is shopping their coverage, as an example, and you started your policy 10 years ago, if you're shopping your coverage, when you go in and do your application process, you want to make sure that your retroactive date on anybody's policy is from the date you first carried coverage forward. And that first date of coverage is referred to as retro date or retroactive date.
So if I understand that correctly, if somebody's changing their insurance, let's say they have it with one company and they're going to pick it up with somebody else, that's a time when this would become an issue. And am I understanding you correctly that if you put the retroactive date on there, could go all the way back to when you began the business? Okay.
That is correct. And you had coverage in place.
Right. Okay. So they're basically just carrying over the coverage that somebody else was carrying at one point in time. But unless you put that on there, then it wouldn't cover prior acts, so to speak.
That's exactly right. It does not cover the prior acts. You know, in today's economy, people are looking to, you know, cut costs anywhere they can. And, you know, the first clue I would give you is if you have a person that comes in and cuts your cost in half, the first place to look is under your retroactive date, because an agent can come in and present to you a blue light special, if you will, on a professional liability policy, but they just eliminated half of your coverage going backwards. And, you know, and to that point, you know, a surveyor will typically find or detect their errors quicker than maybe a structural engineer would, because you're going to find it, you know, typically quicker, and that's why your rates are lesser as you go back, you know, further and further in a prior act. But at the end of the day, you've carried coverage and you've paid premiums from the beginning of time. And so when, I don't know about you, but I think when I got down to retiring, I wanted to, you know, I want to retire and maybe sell off my company or retire and understand that all of the work that I have done for the past 10, 15, 20 years is covered under my policy.
And yeah, so, I think we all are looking in that direction, of course, at some point in time. Of course, I'm looking at it. Well, I don't know if I'm looking at retirement earlier than you. I'm just going to be a whole lot older.
But, let's go there.
But one of the things that, thinking about that retroactive coverage, a thought came to my mind as you were mentioning in terms of how the state laws run. You know, some state laws have limitations clauses, which basically there's a limitation after discovery of the error or the supposed error, and then some states have repose, which your liability basically ends at some point in time after the work was done. Do those kind of things come into play very much when you're looking at this type of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you made a comment about point of discovery. Point of discovery is a catch-all where it comes for professional liability, and so point of, you know, you may have done the work 20 years ago, but the point of discovery is 10 years. So that particular state, you may have rates a little bit higher. You may have carriers that, you know, you, instead of having seven carriers that would quote, you may only have four or five states or carriers that would quote in that particular state, because of that discovery period. If you go into a state that basically after the work is done and for X amount of years afterwards, then naturally that's going to be a lesser liability that you're going to be picking up under a policy. So it certainly does come into play.
And speaking of how the companies view it, we hear a term a lot out there when we're talking about insurance, and it's admitted and non-admitted carriers. Explain what the difference is.
Sure. Admitted and non-admitted carriers. Both are good carriers, I'll say, because there is a misconception out there that if it's a non-admitted carrier, it's not a good carrier and they won't pay my claims and so on and so forth. That's just simply not true. What you need to do is under the AM Best rating website, check out any one of your carriers. But an admitted carrier, to address that, you know, you really want to look at the financial strength and the expertise of that carrier in writing professional liability for surveyors. You know, professional liability for a dentist is different than it is for a surveyor. So, you know, how long have they been doing it? What's their financial strength of both admitted versus non-admitted? But the admitted carrier is a carrier or a company that is licensed as an admitted carrier to conduct business in that particular state, no matter what the state is, and it's then governed by the insurance commissioner of that state.
Now, this might be a good time to point out, and I think I'm correct on this, but you are kind of like us, or our insurance carriers, our insurance covers are kind of like us in that if surveyors practice in different states, they got to be licensed in all those states, and you're the same way, right?
Absolutely. Yes, you do. You have to be licensed and or filed, depending on the state, you know, filed to do business in that state, or, you know, in Commonwealth, you know, sometimes, you know, you have to do the non-admitted versus admitted resident agent versus non-resident agent in those states as well, and the carriers naturally have to do business in those states as well and be licensed there to do that. The non-admitted carrier, now, you know, with the non-admitted carrier, they're not necessarily subject to the state regulations by the state insurance commissioner. They are, you know, oftentimes more, they can be more creative, if you will, for their forms. So where it would pertain to a land surveyor, as an example, there may be a situation to where an admitted carrier could not add a specific endorsement that a surveyor needs in order to do a job site and name someone as additional insured on a professional liability policy, whereas a non-admitted carrier can actually do what we refer to as a manuscripted endorsement and be able or be capable of adding an endorsement to their form, whereas it would not have to be filed or go through the regulation that would be in place for an admitted carrier to do so.
That may be something we'll want to chat about when we talk about Table A, Item 21 a little bit later on.
Absolutely.
Let's go to our last break, and I know when we come back, maybe David will be on there to make the announcement for the Schonstadt winner, but we'll be right back after the break.
Well, folks, we have a winner. Amy Carlos Fiscus, who is Secretary Treasurer of Jefferson Township in Pennsylvania, has won the 2013 Schonstadt Great Locator Giveaway Grand Prize of a Caribbean cruise for two or $5,000 in cash. To learn more about our winner and to see which option Amy chose, go to www.schonstedt.com. Many thanks to all who entered, and be sure to watch for our next Schonstedt promotional event.
Quick stakes are not just an affordable alternative to heavy wooden stakes, but they save the surveyor time, which means money, by being easy to carry, easy to ride on, and even easier to see. For more information about quick stakes, go to www.quickstake.com, or for a sample, give us a call at 800-438-0387.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
Well, folks, we have a winner. Amy Carlos Fiscus, who is Secretary Treasurer of Jefferson Township in Pennsylvania, has won the 2013 Schonstedt Great Locator Giveaway Grand Prize of a Caribbean cruise for two or $5,000 in cash. To learn more about our winner and to see which option Amy chose, go to www.schonstedt.com. Many thanks to all who entered, and be sure to watch for our next Schonstedt promotional event.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
David has told me that he announced the winner, but And he asked me if I know Amy, but I don't know if I know Amy because he didn't tell me her last name. So, because we couldn't hear what was going on when he was making the announcement. So, but congratulations to Amy, whoever you are, and enjoy the cruise wherever you decide to go. That's pretty cool. As we were going to the break, Lisa, you were talking about the admitted and not admitted and what one can do and what the other can do. And so is there a particular advantage one way or the other?
Well, the advantage is it is an admitted carrier, and you do have options now, whereas land surveyors used to pretty much have not admitted companies only available to them for many, many years. So you do have the option of both admitted versus not admitted. The non-admitted carrier, you will have additional state and surplus lines taxes that's charged to your premium. So, a lot of people elect to go with an admitted carrier when they can. But at the end of the day, there's reasons why you do both. And, we represent both carriers. And both types of carriers, and again, as I said, you look at the financial strength of both of those carriers, and let that be some of your decision goes into your decision factor, with that in mind.
So
one of the things before, we had mentioned the question of the day, which was the hammer clause. One of the things that I did want to point out before we time goes so quickly when we're doing these shows, but one of the items that I did want to bring up is ALTA standards for the title surveys that's out there, and naturally we have a lot of land surveyors that as you know, does ALTAs, and they do 100% ALTAs sometimes. Well, at the end of the day, naturally under the regulations, if you will, or the guidelines for the ALTAs, one of the things is your title, I believe it's Table A, mm-hmm. Within the standard requirements. One of the items is number 21, which specifically asks you for the professional liability insurance policy that you have and the amount in which you you have on to be specified on here and throughout the contract term. So that's very important when you're looking for not only renewing your professional but getting new professional, is to let the agent know how long the contract term is, and you can go in and negotiate the requirement that is being stipulated that you must carry of the professional liability, and we can negotiate with that carrier. Oftentimes we'll see during the job's performance and for 2 years after the contract's duration. So when we're going in to negotiate something for from a pricing perspective, is to point out how much you do under ALTAs, what type of ALTAs you're doing, and best case scenario is to send that portion of your contract to your agent and or to us, and we can review it for you. But you want to make sure that you've negotiated that to where you're going to have that coverage in place, to where you don't get into a breach of contract, because oftentimes surveyors may miss that piece and they carry it for the contract or while they're doing the work, for like $1 million as an example, and then upon renewal they're thinking, okay, I'm not going to do that work any longer, and I'm going to decrease it down to $500,000 just to save a few dollars. When you could find yourself into a breach of contract at that point, because you want to make sure that you have picked that up for the contract term that you have signed under the ALTA.
And I guess there's a lot of cases, or perhaps there are, where people aren't carrying coverage, and then one of these projects comes up, or maybe it's not even an ALTA/CSM. Maybe it's a big construction job or something, and they get, you got to have some liability coverage.
Yep.
And then they're kind of scrambling around to find out what they can get. So better to try to know ahead of time, I guess, as much as you can.
Yes. Well, and you're absolutely right. They get it for the job, or they'll get it for that construction project because they're required to carry it, and then they feel that they can just drop it afterwards. And in often case, if you're picking up professional for a contract, there's usually a stipulation clause in there for how long you must carry it afterwards. And that relates back to my claims made comment. Is the reason why that's in there is naturally if you do a survey and your job is in, let's just say, in January of 2014, you get to January of 2015 and you decide, well, I'm not going to renew the policy. Well, that claim, maybe the construction hasn't started or finished on that project yet. So that claim needs to be covered through the duration of the construction job. So in the event that they find an error and you're named in the suit. So that's why they ask for that period of time afterwards for a claim to be filed and covered under your policy. You need to have that extended reporting period of that two-year time, which is sometimes referred to as a tail coverage, a tail reporting period for your claims made policy.
And what's the, I know what a certificate of insurance is, of course, but in the standards it talks about certificate of insurance to be furnished. And sometimes people are concerned about that, but that's, if my understanding is correctly, that's not a hard thing to get from your carrier.
No, actually, that should be very easy to get, but I will have to say that I was in Mississippi last week, as I mentioned, for a surveying conference there, and there were several people that came up to me in talking about if they call their agent and get a certificate of insurance, they're being charged anywhere from $50 to $150 a certificate.
Wow.
To process a certificate of insurance. And that kind of goes back, again, to knowing who you're doing business with and maybe the expertise that you're doing business with, because a certificate of insurance should not cost you anything. They're, 90%, 95% of the time, if you're with an admitted carrier, it's a simple process. If you're asking for something specific, like a project-specific through a not-admitted carrier, they may have some form of a fee that's associated with that through the carrier, but your agent, that is just not, that's an undue expense that you're incurring. So what I would tell you, if you're being charged for a certificate of insurance, that is something that should come as part of your service through your agent. And And, we do not charge for a certificate of insurance. So it should be a simple phone call, having proof of coverage in hand, and then having that sent out. Now, I will tell you, in these situations, they will typically ask for that project or the project number to be listed on your certificate of insurance to make sure that you do have the coverage in place for that specific ALTA. So, that's not uncommon. So when you're calling in for a certificate of insurance, you want to have the name, number, address, typically an email address, and then also the type of work that you're doing and a project number. And then that is all received by a staff member here, and we issue the certificate out accordingly.
Right. And just so everybody understands that, you mentioned ALTA, but these certificates of insurance could come for a construction layout job or –
Thing.
Any
yeah.
other kind of job, but as you were talking about all that, it just reminded me that good questions to ask when you're seeking quotes or you're talking to people about providing the coverage. From what you've said so far, it seems to me that a couple of really good questions to ask, and this one may seem crazy to have to ask, but are you licensed in my state? Where I'm going to be practicing. Or are you going to license in the other states where I'm going to be practicing? I guess that's just as important. And really, surveyors should find that to be kind of an interesting question to ask, because we get asked the same question. We can't can't provide services in states where we're not licensed. So it sounds to me like if somebody's offering to provide coverage to you, you would want to know where they're licensed.
That's right. You know, on professional liability, you know, as you well know, you may, you know, have a person that's, you know, licensed in 5 or 6 different states. You want to make sure that if you need to do something on their behalf in those states, that the agent that you're doing business with is familiar with that, licensed there to do business there, and has the expertise, most importantly, in your industry. Because, you know, one question that is becoming more and more and more relevant here is to say, okay, you do professional liability, but you can give me a competitive quote, but will I have to charge any additional fees to this? Will you be charging any certificate requests or change requests, et cetera? Because at the end of the day, you want to make sure that when you're comparing apples to apples or as close to apples as you can, you have all the fees associated with that premium. Because, you know, as I was talking to a couple of people in a partnership down in Mississippi, they were explaining that they have thousands of dollars a year that goes into the professional liability certificates alone.
Wow.
And that, to me, is just shocking.
Well,
that they're doing it. You know, one of the things, and I do want to chat about the hammer clause again. Again, with your professional liability policies, you know, ask your agent. If the agent does not understand the hammer clause, which don't find that surprising because a lot of people do not, if they're not doing professional liability for surveyors a lot, but each carrier will have the language in their policy a little bit different. And some will point out and say no hammer clause applies.
We'll pick up on that next time, Lisa. We're about to run out
okay.
of time.
Okay.
I just want everybody to know that we're doing this show every second Monday of the second Monday of each month. So I'm sure we'll get questions on this. We'll make sure that we pick up on this when we come back next time. But I just want to be sure we get in there. Thank you, of course, for being with me today. But also to let everybody know that we are doing this on the second Monday of each month and planning to do it throughout the year. So we're looking forward to having you back on that. And then on the webinars, when that all gets set up, we'll obviously be putting that out on News and Views and on our website. So I don't know how quickly that'll happen, but certainly we'll be announcing everything. So, again, thanks for being with me today. I know we didn't get to cover everything we wanted, but we'll be back a month from now. So,
you very much, Kurt, for allowing us to do this. And naturally, in between, if anyone has any comments or questions regarding this, feel free to give us a call here at 888-454-9562.
Sounds great. Well, thanks again, Lisa, and we'll chat soon.
Well, folks, we have a winner. Amy Carlos Fiscus, who is Secretary Treasurer of Jefferson Township in Pennsylvania, has won the 2013 Schonstedt Great Locator Giveaway Grand Prize of a Caribbean cruise for $2,000 or $5,000 in cash. To learn more about our winner and to see which option Amy chose, go to www.schonstedt.com. Many thanks to all who entered, and be sure to watch for our next Schonstedt promotional event.